Good morning. Good to see everyone once again. I would ask you to open your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes for a moment. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'd like to consider a word study today. I'd like to consider the word remember. That word was brought to our attention in one of the readings actually this morning as we remember the Lord Jesus this morning. But in chapter 12 and verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while in the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. And so we see the word remember. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I like to think of this word, found nearly 150 times, and of course if you include remembered, past tense, or remembrance, there are several more references. Here we are at the beginning of a new year, 2021. When we embark upon a new year, we can often both look back and remember, and we can look ahead. It's valuable to do both, to remember and to anticipate or to look look ahead. You know, that can be good or bad, the things that we remember, is it not? We can think in terms of Pearl Harbor Day. We can think of 9/11. Or we can also remember at Easter time, we can remember Resurrection Sunday. We can think of the Lord's resurrection. So when we think about these things, remembrance can sometimes be a celebration, sometimes not. Sometimes it's not a celebration, where other times it's a need to remember that we might learn from things that were not necessarily good in the past. And so as loved ones, that's a positive. We can remember our loved ones that have gone on before us, and we can celebrate their life and remember them, remember good times together. And yet there are times that we can look at society, or we can look at things in our own lives or people around us, and it may not necessarily be a celebration, but it might be looking at things that we can learn from history, that we perhaps won't repeat that. And so when we think of this, I think of one practical application that's been in my mind the recent days. Brother, an elder in our home assembly, had some thoughts on his mind at the remembrance meeting just recently. And he was thinking about remembrance. He was thinking in terms of, as this is a man in his 70s, he says, you know, I can think of, and he listed many things in his life's experience. He said, for example, I can remember back whenever I was barely an adult, and there was that drill sergeant screaming in my face. I can remember this situation with my family or that, and he mentioned several things. It was near to his heart. He says, yet sometimes some of us have trouble remembering things more recently. And he says, unfortunately, some people have health issues, and it comes to a point, Alzheimer's and these things, and their memory fades. And his point was to say, you know, what privilege we have to remember things. Of course, the context where we were at the time was the Lord's Supper. So he was thinking of the privilege of remembering the Lord's death as we come together on the Lord's Day morning and we remember him. And so the challenge that also came out briefly by the brother was, may we not have spiritual Alzheimer's? In the sense of, may we not be those that forget, that we forget things that we ought not. May we remember the things concerning the Lord Jesus that's in the Word of God. And may we press on following him wholeheartedly. I'd like to begin by looking at some Old Testament passages, looking for this word remember. We notice, first of all, in Genesis, if you want to turn with me, please. Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. We go back and look at the early references of the word remember. And here we find the days of Noah. When we think of Noah, we find one of the times when the Lord made a covenant or a promise. This word remember comes up with these promises and covenants of God often. Things that God has said that he would do and will do. We think here in chapter 9, following the flood, we see there in verse 12, as this rainbow, this bow in the cloud, was given as a token of this covenant, that the entire earth would never again be flooded. And then we see down in verse 15, "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living thing, a creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow which shall be in the cloud, I will look upon it, and I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. I may remember." So when we think of this term remember, sometimes it's the Lord saying that he would remember. And we can look at the promises of God and we can trust the Lord. But other times the scripture gives us this word remember as a point to challenge us, to encourage us. Turn, if you would, to Exodus. Move on a little further. Exodus 13. We move now into the days of Moses. And if you recall how Israel was there in Egypt at the end of Genesis, and then things went in a downward trend. The generations went along and they became slaves, and God sent Moses and called him, as you see at the burning bush of Exodus 3. And his message was through Moses and Aaron to tell Pharaoh there in Egypt, "Let my people go." And in time past, this happened. And we see the Passover was instituted, as we see in chapter 12. But then, as this ordinance was established there with Israel, we see in 13:1, 13 and verse 3, "And Moses said unto the people, remember this day, in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out from this place. Remember." Here's a sense of a positive remembrance. The Lord saying, remember what the Lord has done. So Israel could remember that they were able to leave Egypt and leave Pharaoh, and they moved back toward the promised land. A few chapters over, in chapter 19, we see there is, in chapter 20 rather, and we're seeing the Ten Commandments, and we see there Israel being given these in 20 and verse 8, one of those commandments. Verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And so there, in the context of the Old Testament, God's people, Israel, here they're told to remember the Sabbath day. The reminder of how God created in 6 days, on the seventh he rested, and there's this principle of rest, and yet there is this sense of remembering and thinking about the Lord and focusing on him. Of course, we understand in the New Testament, our rest is in the Lord Jesus and not a day. But yet there's a principle here. They were told to remember. We go on to the book of Deuteronomy, just a few pages over. Still of the books of Moses. You know, when you come into Deuteronomy, we actually find many of the references here. There's around over a dozen times you'll find the word remember in Deuteronomy. But let's turn to 32 and verse 7. Deuteronomy 32, verse 7. Just notice one of those. Here we see a song of Moses. Of course, Moses, we noted him early in Exodus, how he was called to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. But yet we see there was the 40 years in the wilderness that followed that previous reading. 40 years, as the next generation would eventually go into the promised land without Moses. He died, of course, looking toward the promised land. And we find here a song of Moses, 32 of Deuteronomy. "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right. So as we read along here in Deuteronomy 32, we skip down in verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. So we're reminded here of these wonderful truths as Moses' song, and he's glorifying and acknowledging and ascribing greatness to our God. And in verse 7, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. You know, when we know the Lord is our Savior, we can look back, and we can look back at what God's Word has recorded. We can look to the cross. We can look to the resurrection. We can yet, because of those promises and those accomplishments of God, we have the ability to look forward. And we look forward to being with him for eternity. We look forward to him in his return when he will set things right in the fulfillment of those future events. The exhortation to remember. Move on, if you would, to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, please, and go to chapter 20. There are several. There's at least a couple of dozen in Psalms, the word remember. And we begin there at verse 20. I just want to read a few of those before you as we think of praising our God. 20 and verse 7. Here we think of confidence in our Lord. Some trusted chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You may have noticed that in some of the reading already, the connection to his name. Remembering his name. A name brings a sense of authority to gather in his name. And when nations send their troops out, it's under that authority. A name carries a sense of authority. And so when we think about our Lord, we think about that name that's above every name. We think about that authority that comes by and through him. And we remember that name of our Lord. Further on in Psalm, we go to chapter 22, one of the Messianic Psalms. We see in chapter 22, we see looking back to the cross. Chapter 23, we see presently as the Lord is my shepherd. Chapter 24, we see future events, the one that will come, the King of Glory. So there's that sense of past, present, future in these Messianic Psalms, 22, 3, and 4. But note there in 22, as you move down to the end of the chapter, and it shifts to thinking about this one, and the one who has authority, and the one who will establish his kingdom. In 22, 27, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. We see how there is that sense of a remembrance. There's a coming day when ones will realize truly who this one, the Messiah, is. You know, Israel by and large rejected him. But yet there's a coming day they will realize that he really was who he claimed to be. And there will be a sense of acknowledgement. We will see him. You know, in another sense, Philippians tells us that one day every knee shall bow, whether heaven or earth or under the earth. Every knee shall bow. There will be an acknowledgement of who he is. For us that know him, there's that sense of remembrance, an acknowledgement of him, which brings us to worship. You know, that's something I've enjoyed recently, looking at different aspects of our Lord, looking at his names, looking at his character, specifically looking at the person of Christ. All of these different studies we can break down and consider in God's Word should move our hearts to worship, to think on him, to remember him. Further in the book of Psalms, let's go to Psalms 63. We see a bit of a devotion by the psalmist. Many of these psalms are of King David by the Spirit of God. 63, verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Oh, as we perhaps have times when we're trying to fall asleep, or times when we wake in the morning, or maybe times when we don't physically feel well and we lie down, but our minds can go to the Lord. We can worship him. We can meditate on him. We can remember him. The psalmist gives us this great reminder of praise under him. He would say later in verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. Over to chapter 77 of Psalms, please. Just a couple of more we'll note. Psalm 77. And we notice the chapter begins with a day of trouble and perplexity. But yet then in verse 10, 11. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also in all thy work and talk of thy doings. So in the midst of difficulty and trials, we can focus on him. You know, I think of other passages like in Philippians 4, when it talks about, you know, anxiety and, you know, we should cast our cares upon him. And this remembrance that he's the God of peace and that we should meditate on the things that are good and honest and of good report. These things that remind us of God and his word. And so in times of difficulty, remember him. One more, Psalm 105. Psalm 105, we see this chapter dealing with an exhortation to praise, remembering again a covenant that he's made in connection with Abraham there in verse 8 and 9. But notice is in verse 2, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. He addresses, O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He goes on about this covenant, this promise. And yet, of course, when we think of these covenants of the Old Testament, they lead to the Messiah. We think of the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, these promises, and yet we see how often they're connected and fulfilled in the person of Christ. So we ought to remember the Lord in his wondrous works. Now, having said that, in this little Old Testament quick survey of the word remember, let's think in terms of some of the characters in the Old Testament. Think with me, I'm going to be thinking in Genesis for a little bit, of some of the patriarchs, such as beginning with Abraham. And the question should be asked. You've probably heard ones in society or on TV or on radio or just talking with people. The question, is 2020 just worth forgetting? You know, it was such challenge and upheaval and society and things we were asked to do and not to do. And should we just forget 2020? I can see there's enthusiasm moving into the new year to try to have a clean slate. And there is a sense of how that is a helpful thing. But yet, when we look at it as those of us that profess Christ as our Savior, we should look at how difficulties are also opportunities. That we, again, we made a distinction at the beginning that there's a difference between celebrating something and remembering something. You sometimes can do both. If it's something you want to remember and it's good to remember, you may be also in a celebratory way. Other times, things that we remember may not be such good things, but we can learn from those difficulties. Perhaps the Lord is challenging our hearts, preparing our hearts as believers. So some examples in the Old Testament, people that went through challenging times, and they could look back at what the Lord had done through those times. Abraham and Isaac, remember how, speaking of covenants with God and how there was that promise, Abraham was told to move on, and God made promise, and we see that it would come through that promised child, Isaac, but many years went by. He and his wife became old, what we would think past childbearing years, and yet, eventually, Isaac was born. Now, along the way, they were seemingly impatient, and, you know, the handmaiden was put in the picture, and Abraham had a son named Ishmael that was not by his wife, and yet God maintained. The very next chapter, we see him reaffirming his covenant. God did not change. God kept his promise in Genesis 17. And so we see Isaac, the promised child, was born. We see later on Isaac's son Jacob. How Jacob was a man who, well, his name meant trickster, deceiver. And he lived up to that. You see sin, deception, trickery, deceiving his twin brother, eventually with his mom, went along to deceive his father Isaac, and we see his desire to have certain blessings, and yet then he ended up running from his brother who had such hatred and envy toward him. He ran from Esau, and it wasn't until years later when he comes before Esau and he's bowing and he's bringing him a present, and it's time to acknowledge his wrong and reconcile. We see how near that time when it says that Jacob wrestled with a man, that appearance of a man, well, he was wrestling with the Lord. And he said, I want to be blessed. And, you know, first the Lord said, well, what is your name? He had to admit his name. He had to admit that he was Jacob, meaning I'm the trickster. That's like you and me. We have to admit that we're a sinner if we want to truly be blessed of God. We have to confess our sins before a holy, righteous God. And to truly have eternal life, we must come to the knowledge, acknowledgement that we're a sinner and he's the only Savior. Jacob, after he admitted who he was, God blessed him, changed his name to Israel, meaning Prince of God. So in the life of Jacob, we look at a man who sowed and reaped what he sowed. This man that was a trickster, you remember how he wanted a certain one to be his wife, and he had been sent out to some of his kindred, and there's Uncle Laban, a bigger trickster than he. And so the wrong woman was sent in to him, and he thought, you know, this was who I'm marrying, and yet no. He ended up having to work 7 more years to obtain his wife. So the life's hard lessons of Jacob, he could look back later, during and see all that he had sowed and what he reaped from that. But yet in the end we see that he was a man who trusted in the Lord. And by the time you see the end of his life recorded in Hebrews 11, it says this man Jacob, leaning upon a staff, worshiped God. So, you know, we can look back at things that we did wrong. We can look back at bad decisions. We can look back at sin in our life and say, you know, the Lord didn't give up on me. I was wrong in what I did. But the Lord used those situations to teach hard lessons to me. And so we find yet another of the patriarchs in Genesis Moving on to one of his sons. Of course, there is the 12 sons, and which became the 12 tribes of Israel. We see how at one point there was Joseph, the one that Jacob loved. He gave him the coat of many colors. But those 10 older brothers, they hated him. They envied him. They left him for dead in the pit. They sold him off. Yet the dreams he had, they also didn't like those dreams that said one day, we'll all bow to Joseph. But years later, what happened? This is exactly what happened. He's looking different. He talks different. He's grown into this young man. And he's in charge there in Egypt. And here come those 10 older brothers. As their father said, you got to go find food. There's famine in the land. And they are there in front of Joseph, not knowing who he was. And so these brothers, perhaps they learned life's hard lessons, because Joseph gave them a bit of a test. And he tried different things to see how they would respond. You know, there's another brother now. Now Joseph had a younger brother he hears about named Benjamin. So he says, bring him. But, you know, Jacob didn't want to send him. He didn't want the same thing to happen as he thought it happened to Joseph. He thought Joseph was dead, the one he'd given the coat and many colors to. And I can't send Benjamin. Eventually, as they were very hungry, he gave in. And so Joseph used Benjamin as another test. And he found out that those brothers would not treat Benjamin the same way they had treated him years ago. They had learned life's hard lessons. And eventually they were all reconciled. The father was brought down to them. So we bring these things to bear as we think about another man in the Old Testament, Moses, as we mentioned him earlier. He lived 120 years before he died looking toward the promised land. The first 80 years were years of preparation that he would be able to lead the children of Israel in those 40 years in the wilderness. Those years when they were complaining and you know, oh, for the leeks and the garlic, oh, when we were back in Egypt. It's like, you know, they didn't like being in the wilderness, yet God sent the manna. So Moses had those many years of preparation that he might be used of God. You know, the Lord could be preparing you or me for some difficult things ahead. Now, some brethren, I've heard comments made in recent months as a way of meditation and even challenge or even encouragement to think about some of the things that we've had to do different in society this past year. And as believers, sometimes when disagreement upon how those in authority would say do this or don't do that, or in reflection to Christians gathering and those types of things, perhaps these are just opportunities for us to check ourselves. Are we willing to do whatever we need to do to follow the Lord? Perhaps this was just a trial to prepare our hearts and our minds. One aspect of what could be going on. A challenge to us as believers. Because, you know, oftentimes through the years, we've heard people, sometimes missionaries, that would say, you know, this is how it is, XYZ, in other towns, other countries. In other countries where you see that you can be put in jail for meeting as a Christian. Or you might be put to death for gathering in the Lord's name. We haven't gone to that point in this country. But what if it gets to that point? Are we prepared to remember Him? So with that, let's go to the New Testament now. Luke 17. Luke chapter 17. This is a very brief statement. But you may recall in verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Here is an Old Testament character. Lot's wife, remember in Genesis again, how there was the time when, of course, Sodom and Gomorrah was the context. Abraham was looking to help his nephew Lot time and again. And we see when the Lord allowed Lot and his daughters and wife to come out, that was it. They were not to look back. They were not to have their heart's affection still in Sodom and Gomorrah. They were to press on and move away from Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lot's wife turned around and turn into a pillar of salt. So the idea that we suggested before, it's been said by many before, that we should learn from others Learn from their mistakes or learn from their bad decisions or things that they've done wrong, that we don't repeat that ourselves. You know, as you grow up in perhaps in people's homes, or whether a Christian home particularly, how many times would a parent maybe tell a child, learn from other people's mistakes, learn from my mistakes, that you don't do the same thing? Remember Lot's wife, lest we repeat in our lives things that we've seen others in their poor decisions do. In the same book of Luke, we see in chapter 23, verse 42, we move to the cross of Calvary. And here we see a thief and his desire of salvation and being preserved. We see in 23:42, one of the seven sayings. Along in here, we see the seven sayings of the Lord. But in connection with that, this thief said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Well, the Lord's response, one of his seven sayings, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Remember me, said that thief on the cross. He desired salvation. He saw that this one was a righteous man, this one on the center cross. Remember me. Have you cried out to the Lord at some point in your life? Said, remember me. Acknowledged your own sin and acknowledged him as the Savior. As we see here in the survey of this word, remember, I won't have time, of course, to turn to all of them, but there's some other interesting ones in the New Testament. We're exhorted as believers to remember the poor. We see how Paul exhorted those at Ephesus and reminding them of to remember the past of the Gentiles and comparing that to what we have now in Christ. We see Paul exhorting to remember him and his bonds. He was in prison for the Lord Jesus time and again. But in our last moments, let's turn to a couple of references. Please turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Here we see the word forget, kind of bringing in the word remembrance, which is also in the passage. But 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, we see an exhortation to give all diligence and add to your faith virtue, or that is courage, and to virtue knowledge. And he goes on exhorting the Christian to be faithful and fruitful. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye neither be barren, that is idle, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. We want to be those that remember the right things and don't be forgetful. Yet, what does Peter do? By the Spirit of God, there in verse 12, he says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. You know, there are things that we know as believers. We may have grown up around the Word of God, and we've been taught by our parents and been in the assembly, and we may know these things, but we need to be reminded. Yes, even though you know these things, I fail not to put you in remembrance, Peter would say. And we see, then he gives an example. A life's experience. He looks back at something he could remember, beginning in verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. You see, he could look back at that time, that Mount of Transfiguration, when there was Moses and Elijah there in the presence of the Lord. And the one that needed to be focused on was that one, the Lord Jesus. And that voice came down from heaven. And Peter now could recall such an experience. The one that we need to remember and we need to think on. And yet he takes this opportunity, this experience, in these last verses of this chapter to point to the Word of God. Yes, it's wonderful to have an experience in life. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the Word of God, which endureth forever. More than any remembrance of an experience, we have the foundation of the sure word of prophecy. We have the Word of God. Trust in God's Word. Remember what is from God's Word. Remember things concerning the Lord Jesus. Yet trust in Him, in His Word. Finally, as in Hebrews 8, an exhortation to any that might be here that know not Christ as your Savior. This is a quote from the Old Testament, but we find it in Hebrews 8. In the midst of this, well, Hebrews has many Old Testament quotes. We see him talking about iniquity and not remembering those anymore. Think about this. If you know not Christ as your Savior, then you're on that broad road to destruction because you yet live in your sins. But this Word of God tells us that the Lord, who knows everything, and it's hard to contemplate this in our minds, he knows everything, but he chooses not to remember your sins anymore if you come to know Christ as your Savior. You're saved from the penalty of those sins. You're guilty as a sinner before a holy, righteous God, but he will tell you that your iniquity I will remember no more. Are you those that have come to know Christ as your Savior? Have you asked for that forgiveness? Forgiveness of sins, which can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we remember the cross. Remember what he has done. And us that know Christ as our Savior, we have the privilege to come together on the Lord's Day morning and remember him in his death there at the cross of Calvary. And thank him that he didn't stay in the grave, but he's resurrected and alive today, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. With that, let's look to the Lord in prayer.